Ephesians chapter 6. We're going through the book of Ephesians, of course, and we've come to this section of scripture where it speaks about spiritual warfare, the battle that goes on, the unseen, the invisible battle that is raging behind the scenes, the unseen war, people call it. And you know, as we look from cover to cover in the Bible, it's this constant explanation of overcoming. We look at the struggle. We look at the battle. We look at the people, the individuals, the characters from Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and David and Solomon and on into the New Testament. We look at this battle that goes on, and especially we look at this overcoming life. And that's what we want to look at this morning is how we can overcome, how we can live above the circumstances, the struggles, the trials, living in a certain way that we see in the Bible that elevates us in a way where we're not just feeling like we're sinking all the time. We're not feeling like we're drowning all the time. We're not feeling like we're just always in a place where we're losing. But as we look in the scriptures, those understandings of struggle are very normal. But then we are called as believers to look at the opportunities that are given to us with the things of God and the power of God to live way above those things. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, overcoming faith. Now, if you take a look at the scripture, Ephesians 6, we're going to start at verse 10 and just read through. We've been doing that as we've been looking at the armor of God, just kind of getting the whole thrust and gist of what's going on here. In Ephesians 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all," this is what we're going to look at this morning, "above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all the perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look into your scriptures, we see this dynamic of power that's available to us, Lord. Especially those who have come to a place to realize that this spiritual warfare, it's a real thing, it's a serious thing. And we know that we need to engage all of you in order to be successful in this battle, Lord. And we know that if we put part of the armor on, that we are going to be susceptible and weakened, but we are to put all of the armor on, not part. And Lord, I pray for those struggling here this morning, those who just have a difficult time just making it through each day, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would find true victory, true hope, and true strength in you each and every day. And I pray that we, as your scriptures say, we would live as more than conquerors, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit as we look into your word, God. I pray that your truth would set us free. I pray that we would all be changed here this morning, that we wouldn't be the same as we leave, as you tell us that your word will not return void. I pray for open hearts, receptive ears, eyes to see what your Spirit has to say to us this morning, Lord. And let us come to you humbly. Let us come to you with open hands, ready to receive what your Spirit has for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm reminded of a story of a little leaguer who is going to his game, and he told his mom, "I'm positive we're going to lose today." It just had that negative attitude. He just had a hard time thinking that they could actually win. And his mom said, "Well, you know, try to be more positive about it. At least think good thoughts." And he said, "Well, I'm just positive we're going to lose then. I'm positive we're not going to win. How's that, Mom?" And some of us may take that approach to life. We're just positive something is going to be bad. We're just positive our day is going to be filled with defeat and we will be overcome. And we can get those attitudes. And life has a tendency to do that. And I really love that last song we sang about how we can suffer loss. And that's a reality of life, isn't it? That's something that's just a reality of the world that we live in. We experience the things of this world, which is a lot of times loss. But those things, and what we see in the Bible, those things do not have to define us. That's what's different about the believer, that we are not defined by the circumstances and the things that come into our life. We are not defined by those, and those things do not dictate to us our life. But what's different about the believer is that now our life is in Christ, and what is the reality in our life is our victory in Him, regardless of the situation and the circumstance. But sometimes we have a hard time appropriating or applying specifically the things of God to our specific situation. And that's what the teaching of the armor of God is all about. It's to get us then to handle the application or the practical parts of our relationship with God in specific situations of life. And so all of the armor of God is really how we relate to God. And as we relate to God, walking in fellowship with God, therein lies our victory. Our victory is in our fellowship with God because He has overcome the evil one. The evil one has no answer to Jesus Christ, the power of God in Christ. And so you notice in that section of Scripture the emphasis about our being fully engaged in our relationship with God. And that song that we sang, "Just Give Me Jesus," that will be our trump card, that will be our defining characteristic. And it's so important as we look through these Scriptures to understand that we're not to allow a portion of our life, a snapshot of our life, to be that which captures our attention so much that we think that that snapshot is the reality of the whole picture. Our life is really a story, and it's not a step. Our life is a motion picture, and it's not a snapshot. The Bible encourages us, and we see through the armor of God, is to keep our eyes on Christ and to allow the work of God to continue itself working all the way through, and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we don't fix our eyes on the momentary things of the day and let them determine what our attitude and our mood is going to be. But fixing our eyes on Jesus raises us up to a place where we walk above the situations and circumstances in life. And this is the teaching of the Bible from beginning to end. It's an encouragement to walk by faith. As we look in our particular scripture this morning, we're going to learn here this morning how we can overcome anything. We don't need to fear what the future may hold. We don't need to fear maybe what our current situation is. But we are told in the Bible that through faith we can overcome anything. And we've seen that proven throughout the scriptures. And many of us, this is our own personal testimony as we look at this section of scripture. This is our own personal testimony. This is not just the testimony of scriptures, but many of us have proven this to be true in our own lives. The overcoming faith that's given to us in Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this: "The victory that overcomes the world, our faith." It's the victory of our faith. That's what we're going to look at, and we're going to look at how exactly that works and how it can work in our lives specifically. So notice in verse 16. In verse 16, he says, "Now, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." The first thing, if you're a note taker here this morning, that we're going to look at as we look at overcoming faith, this first point is that we have spiritual power that's applied to us. We have to know that. That's what he means when he says, "above all." And of course, he's looking at the metaphor of the Roman soldier and all that he has as he engages in spiritual or his warfare, worldly warfare. And he's comparing that to the spiritual warfare. And he says, above all, we are to take something. There's a couple things here that are different than the first three pieces of the armor, which speak of things that we have. The belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of the gospel of peace. It says that we have those things, but now the wording has changed and says to take these things. So we are to, above all, to take the shield of faith. And he explains that this shield of faith that we are to take, it is specifically designed so that we would be protected from the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, when we look into scriptures then, we find that there's a general struggle for all of mankind. All of mankind being subject to humanity and the world, and then the prince of this air, the prince of this world, Satan, who goes around, the Bible says, prowling like a roaring lion, looking who he may devour. So there's in one sense a general suffering of all mankind. But then there's another sense where there is a suffering of a believer who is a child of God, who gets the attention of Satan and his demons because of the brand that we have, the connection that we have with Christ. And then there's another sort of suffering that we have, to where people who are really desiring to have a true walk with God, a deep walk with God. The Bible says those who desire to live a godly life will suffer persecution. So then there's another sense of suffering of those who say, you know, Lord, I want to live my life fully for you. And I want to engage you with my whole being and my whole heart. And therein lies another sense of struggle and another sense of battle. And so the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians, he's speaking about a believer who has this new life in Christ. That's what the first three chapters of Ephesians is all about, our new life in Christ and being filled with the Spirit. And now as that believer lives his life as a Christian and just simply follows after God, then there's a whole nother struggle and a whole nother battle that goes on because of the direct attacks of Satan. And now as we look at this, the Apostle Paul is saying that there needs to be this shield that's above all the other weapons. Now, that doesn't mean this is the most important, although there is a great emphasis on this piece of armor. But what it means is that just that this is an armor that's over the other armor. It's a protective armor over the other armor. It's almost like we are doubly protected as we simply live our life in the way that the Bible says, living it by the Spirit and not by the flesh. As we do that, we are doubly protected, and we are then to, above all, have this shield, this piece of armor, which is our faith, and it is the forefront armor. It's the armor that's in front of the other armor. It emphasizes and stresses that this piece of armor has been supplied by God with this power that God has given it to overcome everything. And so we find this piece of armor is above the other armor in a sense that it is the forefront of where the attacks will assault us. It even covers the other pieces of the armor. And so God has supplied this reinforcement, this part of our protection, that if we have this in place, that we will overcome anything and everything. This one piece of armor. And he says, so above all the armor, we're to have the shield of faith. And then he says we are to take it instead of have it. This is different. So that means that now this piece of armor, we are to be wise and nimble and skilled in our ability to apply it to specific situations. We're to take it up in times where we're being assaulted, in times where we're being attacked. We're to bring it into a place where it'll protect us and secure us. And that suggests that we have been given this piece of the armor, and yet there's something that we have to do then to apply it. So that necessitates our then use of this armor and our taking it up in specific times. So when he says taking, it means now as believers, we're to be fully engaged in the things of God. And that might be the first area where Satan can get a foothold in our life, to where we're sort of double-minded, or we're sort of having some of the armor and not all the armor, or we're just sort of skating by and we haven't fully embraced the things of God and our life in God. Having that lifestyle, the Bible calls it a lukewarm Christian. You may look at it as a carnal Christian, or a toe-in, toe-out Christian, but it simply is somebody who's not fully engaged in godly things, in the things of God. That's sort of the MO of our day, I believe, our culture today. And so to come with that sort of attitude is to come already defeated. But it says, as above all, we have been supplied this great power to live a life, not one of just constant defeat, but one of constant victory. And the first step is that we need to engage all of God, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. To identify God as the object of all our affection, and like that last song we sang, that was the anthem of somebody living for God. Whatever may befall us, just give me Jesus. Now, can we say that? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Because if we're not even at that place yet, then we're already defeated. We're already in a place of susceptibility. And I can guarantee you, if we haven't at least come to a place in our heart where we desire just Jesus to be the Lord of our life and the King of our life, then we can predict, I can predict that our life is going to be one that's constantly feeling a feeling of defeat and constantly one where we have not gotten to a place where we're experiencing the things that the Bible says that the believer should experience. So the first step is that above all, and maybe today that's what some of us need to settle. We need to come to a place where we say, as for me, I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of this half in, half out, this double-minded sort of attitude. I'm just done with that. Just give me Jesus. If we get there, we're on our way. If we get to that place where we've put our life in God's hands and our lives are His responsibility now, now we will begin to take off. I know for me personally that my early Christian years were lived as a double-minded, half-in, half-out, carnal Christian. You know, after about 6 years of that, it was sort of like the children of Israel when they were tired of eating manna and they asked for meat. And then they got so much meat, they were vomiting up meat. It's sort of like that with the world. It's just, you get to a place, if you dabble in it, and especially if you're a believer and you're living on the fence and you're lukewarm, do you just get tired of living like that? I did. And I remember after being born again when I was 16 years old, the second most dramatic point in my life was the point where I finally just said, Lord, I don't care anymore. I'm sick of all this. You just take my life. And that's where my life really began to grow and develop in Christ. It was at that point. So some of us, that may be the point where we just finally say, above all, Lord, above all, I'm yours. And as we do that now, then we understand something very important, that for the believer, there's a power that has been given to the believer to live this life. It's not as if we come to Jesus, get saved, and then we have to figure it out and finish it on our own, in our own strength and our own power. Have you tried that before? Have you tried to be a good Christian on your own? Have you ever tried to not sin? And it, see, as we then give our life to Christ and surrender to Him, making Him the Lord of our life, what happens is now we experience this power. This power, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So there's these things given to us in God, this power that is the only way that we can defeat the enemy. Because we saw earlier in the book, in that section of Scripture, how what we're wrestling against isn't flesh and blood things. What we're wrestling against is powers of darkness. Do you and I really think that we can get in a cage with the powers of darkness, lock it up and put up our fists and win that battle? Does anybody think that? I can see a lot of tough guys in here, but I don't think any of you are any match for Satan and his enemies, no matter how many jiu-jitsu moves you know. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So what he says is here, now as the believer, we've been empowered with all this power of God that Satan cannot defeat. It's not even an option here. It's not like Satan could win. All that he can do now, all that he has against us, is try to get us to get into the flesh, to wrestle him on his grounds, to get into his field, to pull us into his game plan. That's all he could do. But see, as believers, we don't go there. We don't go into his territory and try to fight him. What we do is we go into our area, which is the battle that belongs to the Lord. And as we enlist the power that we have as believers, we cannot lose. In Zechariah 4:8, it says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." This power has been supplied to the believer. It is needed for the believer. It is essential if the believer is going to be successful in his walk with God. So, how do we overcome the world? How do we overcome anything? How are our lives going to be victorious lives, lives that we see like lives in the Bible? The way that happens is first that we understand that there's power has been supplied to us. And that is the only way Satan will be overcome, is that we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. That we understand that the things of God are the things that are powerful that defeat Satan. So that's the first step. The first step is to engage God with our whole being, knowing this power to be victorious in Christ has been supplied. The second thing we find also, of course, in verse 16, we find the spiritual power then is described to us. So as he tells us this spiritual power is supplied, now he's going to describe it. And I love the metaphor here, of course. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the metaphor then is a metaphor of a shield. And the shield that was being used here or described here wasn't the Captain America shield, you know, the round saucer thing that he holds up, which that's a pretty cool shield. I like that. But I would rather have the shield that's being spoken of here, which was a shield that was about 4 feet by 2.5 feet. It's more like a door. It was more like a door that'd protect the whole person. And it was a shield that would be, in the front of it, would be reinforced so that there nothing can penetrate through the shield. And often, the Roman soldiers would line up together and they would put some of their shields above them, some on the side, and some on the front and the back. So it'd be just like this moving shield wherever they went. And much of their success was because of their shield. So we find this is so important. Because what happens is, and you and I will notice, our faith is heavily attacked. Because it's such an important part of our warfare, of our weaponry. Have you ever noticed that? Our faith is just hammered. That Satan comes in. Because if we drop that shield of faith, the protection that protects all the other pieces of armor, we're done. Really, if there's no shield of faith, then we're pretty much done. Do you think Satan knows that? Satan knows that. So the minute we drop that shield, then we become vulnerable. All the other pieces of the armor are susceptible. And so he says, above all, take the shield of faith. When Satan attacks, bring faith up into the equation and then understand what this faith is. This faith is the ultimate protection for us spiritually. So much so that we see right after this little statement, he says it quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. Faith does that. So faith is at a premium. God has given us this faith as the ultimate weapon to be protected from the things of Satan. And Satan attacks this weapon like no other, because he knows if he can get our faith, he's got us. We see that from the very beginning, right? In the Garden of Eden. That all the sin was to doubt God, to question God, to compromise on the things of God. And the Bible tells us that we are to put that faith up as a shield whenever those sort of doubts or thoughts that are not of God come in. We put the shield of faith up, and faith will protect us from all of those type of darts. So we don't need to figure out what type of dart is or where it's coming from. All we need to know is faith is the ultimate protection for the attacks of Satan. So he says, let this faith, let it be a shield to you. Faith then is now what you and I have to come to a place today that we would decide something here today, right now, that we would decide that whatever happens to us, whatever befalls us, we will keep our faith. And that our faith will not in any way, shape, or form be dependent on our understanding. It won't be dependent on how we view things. Our faith is in its totality completely based on who Christ is and what Christ has done. All of our faith is put into Christ. Now, the book of Job brings this out. The book of Job is not so much a book about suffering as it is a book about faith. As Job goes through this horrendous spiritual assault, an assault many of us, well, we pray that we don't have a Job kind of testing. I don't know anybody who'd want to sign up for that. As we read through the book of Job, some of us then find ourselves kind of like Job. And we say, hey, yeah, well, I can relate to that. I can experience that. But we all can, because that is the life of a believer. So as Job is attacked, and then he has these people come to him, Job's advisors, trying to give him advice on his problem, telling him what he should do. And you don't want to surround yourself with people like Job's advisors, because they had no idea of the depths of the things that God was doing in Job's life. And the end of the story, Job is dialoguing with God. And basically God says, where were you when I formed the world? Where were you? You want to try to figure this out and understand everything? And basically saying, we can't do that. As human beings, we don't have the ability to understand the complexities of the depth of the working of God. So the answer then to all that is that we would simply trust him. That was the message of the book of Job. And in the end, Job was blessed more than he was in the beginning. But see, that the understanding that we have from the book of Job is that you and I, we would put our faith in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And we would leave everything else up to him. That's really what it means to be a Christian. Now, this type of faith that we're talking about, it's not just belief. Because the Bible tells us even the demons believe that God exists. That's not a big deal, right? What it means is to put our trust in, to rest our weight upon God. That's what faith is. So God is constantly working in the believer's life to bring out this type of faith, a faith that would trust completely on God, that would rest our hope 100% in him. So this word faith, is it means that we would trust, that we would come to a place where God is above all in all that we think and do, and that no matter what, we trust him, even if we don't understand. Because if we did understand, would that be faith? If we got it all figured out, we knew how it all worked, and we understood everything, and God showed us the whole plan. He showed us at the end how it's going to work out, and it's going to work out good. Would that be faith? See, he could do that. But see, faith is such a valuable commodity. It is priceless to God. And so Satan attacks this faith, and faith becomes that priceless commodity that as we rest our hope in God, trusting in who he is and what he has done, now we have come to a place, the Bible says in James chapter 1, that we're now complete. We're complete. We're lacking in nothing. How do we get complete and lacking in nothing? Is if we trust God no matter what. Trusting in who he is and what he has done. So we see God then allowing things to happen in our life so that our faith could be exercised. And without great faith, there will be no great working of God in our life. Because faith is the thing. Now, one little mistake that we can often make is that in some way we will have faith in a certain set of circumstances. So we'll have faith in God that he's going to do what we want him to do in the way we want him to do it. And that's how we can often lose faith. Because we think, Lord, I had all this faith that you were going to work this out like this. And I knew you were going to do it just like this, and you didn't do it. So you must not be real or true anymore. And think about all these guys in the Bible, all these strange things that they were going through that we know about now, like Job. We know that whole Job didn't know anything about that. He was just experiencing it. Abraham, hey, Abraham, just leave where you're from. Just go. Well, where am I going to go? Oh, don't worry about it. Just go. What are you talking about? Just go. How did he do that? He had to trust God, right? Hey, David, just go get a slingshot and just go launch it into the forehead of that giant that could crush you like a grape. What? How's that going to work? Nobody. I'm just a little guy. That's what God wants to do in our life, but it takes faith to do that. And it takes the type of faith that completely rests in God. And when we get to that place, now we are above the natural, we're above the things of this world, and we are living now the way God has intended us. Galatians 2:20, right? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ in who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith. So we look at one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the what? I think you got it. the evidence of things not seen. So that's just such an amazing statement that there's something supernatural that is substantial and weighty and something that is even greater than our five senses' ability to perceive things. So biblical faith isn't a faith where it's just some random belief in some random thing. It's a faith that's substantiated on the whole working of the truth out, and it's substantiated in all of creation and through prophecy and all these different ways that God says you can take it to the bank, that I am true, I cannot lie, and that everything I say in the Bible is going to happen exactly as I said, especially the things I have said to you and promised to you, and all the promises of God are yes and amen. But do you see how Satan attacks us so that we won't have faith anymore? He attacks us so that our lives would be filled with stress and anxiety and fear, because then he's rendered us ineffective, which in reality then has made God insignificant in our life. And the Bible's telling us we need to move from salvation faith to practical faith. That same faith that has saved us must be the same faith that we walk in. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the power that we have to live our lives as victors in Christ over all circumstances, situations, and events that happen in our life. And the last thing we find about overcoming faith is that the spiritual power then, it must be applied. That's why it says we are to take the shield of faith. And then notice the purpose then and the acknowledgement. It says, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So this is good because this is an explanation of how Satan attacks us. In the days that this was being written, the Roman soldiers would put up their shields because the enemies would often launch from a distance, often unseen attacks, and they would be able to hear in the air the sound of these darts or arrows coming towards them in multitudes. And oftentimes these arrows or darts would be inflamed, and as they went through the air, they'd be more intimidating as the air would make the flame light up even more. And so as they put their shields up, they would be protected from the flames and the arrows, but oftentimes it wasn't just the direct hit that was important for the enemy, but it was often to cause confusion and panic. As they sent these arrows in multitudes with fire and flames, as long as they had their shield up, they could stay right there, not move, and they wouldn't be hurt. But oftentimes what would happen to the soldier is panic would strike. He would drop his shield and try to run from the arrows. And he would be, of course, a sitting duck. But do you see how perfect the metaphor is, the analogy, that that's often what we do? When something comes our way, often it comes in multitudes, often it comes unexpectedly, often it comes real scary and real intimidating, and it causes fear. And if that fear causes us to drop our faith, then we have lost. But if we stay put, if we keep our faith, if we don't move, God then will protect us. He will be our shield. But see, what Satan wants to do is he wants us to fight him in the flesh. And that happens when we get fearful, afraid, we start to panic, we get stressed out, and now our faith is compromised, and then we begin to take steps to try to fix our problem, or try to not have fear, or try to do something to make ourselves feel better, another coping mechanism. That's what Satan will do. He'll try to get us to feel less afraid if we will go in his direction even more. He might even entice us to drop our shield and lead us down a road of destruction and back off in his attacks. And then we think, well, I feel better now. I feel better running to this coping mechanism. I feel better running to that coping mechanism. Well, if I do this, and we're the whole time we're running away from faith. And we're running right into the attacks of the enemy. And so God says, put your shield up. It's going to look scary. It's going to be intimidating. It's going to try to confuse you. But just stay put. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can overcome you. Keep your shield of faith up, no matter what. Trust in me, and you will prevail. And that is the ultimate message of the shield of faith, to stay put, to don't exert our own means of dealing with the situation other than putting our whole faith and our trust in the Lord. And we have this promise that as we do, Romans 8 tells us, we will be more than conquerors. That we will conquer more than a conqueror. We will be super conquerors. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that's the bottom line. So today as we look in this section of Scripture, we say, how can I overcome everything? As we sit here today, some of us are experiencing that now. Some of us will experience that in the future. Some of us have experienced that in the past. And be that as it may, the one thing that will always remain and that we need to leave this discussion with is the decision today. The same statement that Job made in Job 13:15. Though he slay me, I will trust him. And that's the bottom line. Can we say that today? And I want to encourage you not to decide that later when you're in the situation. Decide it now. Say, Lord, I know this life is not heaven. This world is not my final resting place. When I look into the book of Hebrews, I see these statements about they saw the invisible, that they looked for their home that was somewhere else, that they saw themselves as pilgrims, as aliens, as foreigners traveling through this world, that they looked for a better place. These are statements of faith. These are statements not of the flesh, of the faith. So today then, would we say that? Can we come now and say, Lord, no matter what, I will trust you. I'm deciding that now. And Lord, give me the strength by your Holy Spirit to take my shield of faith when those arrows come. And help me move forward in this life by faith. Help me conquer by faith. Help me live my life according to faith, and let my life of faith be a life of fruitfulness and a life of blessing. Let's pray. Father God, as we look upon these things this morning, Lord, I'm just amazed on your bigness, Lord. I'm blown away by your power and your majesty, Lord Jesus, and I'm thankful that you, God, are my shield. And as I look at these scriptures, Lord, I just thank you that I've seen this in my own life personally, that faith does, it works. These things you're talking about, Lord, are so powerful that our faith will sustain us through anything. And so, Father, I just want to pray for our congregation, that this would be a congregation of faith, that we would be a group that would trust you, Lord, although you slay us, that we would be a group that would not try to figure everything out all the time, but simply rest our hope in you and who you are. And Lord, you have never let one single person down. You have never failed one second of the time. You are faithful, Lord, to complete what you've started. And you have a plan for each one of us, Lord, a plan for good and not for evil, a plan for a future and a hope. And so, Lord, I pray that with all our hearts, we'd embrace that today. And that we would be filled with joy and security and rest and peace simply as we trust in you, God. And Lord, I pray for anybody here this morning who's just having such a hard time. It's really struggling. And I know there's just one answer for them today, Lord. Just one answer, one word that you ask them to have, and it's just faith. And that'll be the cure-all for all the fiery darts. That'll be the solvent for all of their wounds. And that'll be the answer to all their pain. It's just one word, faith, Lord. And you tell us that you go to and fro the earth looking to find faith, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that today that we would take up our shield of faith and simply believe in you, the power of believing in you and who you are, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray if anybody is here and they have never put their belief in you for salvation, if they are here today and have never been forgiven of their sins, have never received your finished work on the cross, I want to pray for them right here today, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation, that they would simply cry out to you, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I rest my hope in you and your finished work, Lord, on the cross. And if that's you, you can do that right here, right today, by asking Jesus into your heart, believing in him, and resting your hope on his finished work on the cross. If you do that today, you could be saved. And so, Father, I love you and I praise you. Thank you for our body of believers, Lord. Continue to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord. God bless you guys. Let's have a faith-filled week. Amen.